My cat, Pepper, is an indoor cat. An indoor cat who longs to be outdoors. He is ever on the lookout for a means of escape. And that does happen, no matter how careful we are. But it's funny. It's like when he gets out, every fiber of his being wants to be out, and when he finally escapes and gets out, he doesn't know what to do. Which makes it relatively easy to get him, because he looks at us, you know, there, and you chase after him. No, that doesn't work. But it's like, what now? Everything in him has been wanting to escape. But when he does get freedom, he doesn't know what to do with it. Well, hopefully you're not feeling that way this morning, that you're anxious now that you have put in some time here to burst out that door and escape. But I do would like to uphold you, to encourage you to become less escapers from religion and more persons who are sent into your daily life, into your world, just like Jesus sent those 70 or 72. The texts are kind of vary between the two of them, no matter which ones we depend upon. Like those disciples whom Jesus sent forth. There are sending scriptures out there, and I'm sure you are familiar with some of them. Matthew's gospel ends with a famous one. Do you remember it? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name. You know that one. This in some ways is something similar, though it is a part of the history as Luke remembers it. It is full of encouragement for us today as we are sent, as we become not just disciples, people who are learning, and learning is a lifelong process, but also apostles, persons who are sent. You know, apostle or a missionary, that's a word we use. A missionary is not just someone whom we pay, someone we send to go somewhere far away. If we have that understanding, we have failed in our calling. Because in a way, we are all missionaries. We are all apostles to that neck of the world that is our kind of place where we live and move and have our being. We can be missional people right where we are. But how this happens? Well, there's some clues here in this particular gospel. And let me try to briefly hit on them as well. As Jesus sent them out, he asked them, remember, he sent them out two by two. Not in groups, large groups. Large groups can make us feel more comfortable as we approach other people. We like comfort, don't we? But maybe the comfort of just one other person is all that we really, really need. Now, some groups understand this. I mean, I'm sure, who has been visited by a Mormon missionary? I got to tell that since you're here, Catherine, I got to tell a story from back when I was at Greencastle. At that point, the church office was in a house right across the alley from the church building. And my office, my study was, there was a back entrance that went off into the alley that went to my study, and there was a front door that was on the street. Well, one day, the doorbell rang, the side, and so I went to it, and there were two Mormon missionaries. You can tell them right off, can't you? They're usually dressed, well, sort of like I am right now. Okay? And so I welcomed them in and talked with them. You know, it's a good thing to be hospitable. It's a good thing to talk. It's a good also to be firm in where you're at. But they're very nice people, aren't they? Then the doorbell rang on the other door. So I went down to the front door, and guess who was there? Two more Mormon missionaries. So I said, hey, come on in. So I said, have you met these guys? It was kind of funny. Okay. Two by two. In some ways, two by two is not threatening, is it? It's a bit comforting, but it's not threatening. You're not doing it alone, but those who may welcome you are not overwhelmed. And that's a good thing. He sent them off two by two. And then the first thing he called for was prayer. I mean, it says ask. You know, this is not about you. It's about God. And it says, you know, the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. That's not just you. You know, God plants. God, we may be a part of that, but it is God who does that, who sows and gives growth and everything. And the harvest as well is not something that, I mean, it's really something that, well, in each of us there is the good news growing. Likewise, in every person that we encounter in our lives, there is the possibility of growth. The Quakers say that there is that of God in each person. Now, there are those who would add that there is that of, you know, the other side as well. But we seek out what is good, what is right, what is honorable, what is true in every person. That is what we are seeking. That is the harvest we are going for. That connection that we reach out to in our daily life. With your neighbors, do you focus upon the things that drive you nuts about them? Or do you look at the things that they're good, the positive parts of their lives? Now, granted, there are neighbors, there are friends, there are co-workers that are a bit harder to see that, aren't there? Plenty of those around. But are we actively praying for the ability to see, as well as for harvesters? You know, we may not be the right harvester for this particular person. This particular person may need somebody who is closer to what they're going through, who can speak a word of truth that they can hear, and not us. So prayer is essential to this whole process. Draw it into your day. And know that prayer is not just about asking God, you know, speaking words. Prayer is probably about 70% listening. Just being still and knowing that God is God. Jesus said, go on your way. Now that word go is essential. For many of us, the hardest step is which? The first in reaching out to somebody, right? And into turning to somebody. And that's something we struggle with. You know, for us, when it's, you know, we're really talking evangelism here, but let's not draw that big word that sometimes is scary to many of us. All evangelism means is just sharing what you know about good news. Not throwing it on somebody, not imposing it on somebody, but just sharing. So often in the church, though, when we think about reaching out, what do? We have the Field of Dreams approach, don't we? In Field of Dreams, that movie, do you recall it? There was the statement, build it and they will come. Well, you can build a ball field and people may not come. Because sometimes the very first step is beyond running the bases, beyond building the ball field, beyond having a nice church building beyond having a good worship service. The first step is just reaching out and getting to know your neighbors, the people in the town in which you find yourself. So go. Now note this whole lambs in the midst of wolves thing. As we said, not every person, it's easy to see that of God in them. And for some, they may be like wolves. But even wolves were created by God. Remember that. This next number four is so essential, and it's something that's repeated because earlier Jesus just sent out the 12 and gave them the same instructions, and they can basically be brought down into two words: travel light. So often we feel like we need to have everything along with us. And I'm not just talking about going to NYC, but our message to those who go to NYC, for us in the van, for you heading out on your camping trip, is you can't take everything, right? You gotta pack light. But that's true for even when we reach out to some people. Sometimes we feel like we've got to have everything. I remember early on in my ministry, when I was not as sure about myself as I may have been a little bit later, in leading a Bible study at the first church that I ever was associate pastor of, I was called upon to lead the Bible study, and I brought in, I brought my Bible, and I brought some commentaries, and I brought this, and I brought this, and, because I wanted to be ready and prepared just in case anybody had a question. I sat them on the table, and I realized once I had finally sitting down and was in front of everybody that I had kind of built a little wall. I had a little fortress there. The times when I have just traveled light, in some ways, all you need is the Bible. All you need is the Holy Spirit. All you need is just yourself. Or better put, it's not just about, and this is kind of our Western individualism in there. We need to have another. When two or more are gathered in Jesus' name, He is there. So it's not just two of you, it is three, right? Or more. Okay, travel light. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. And it says greet no one on the road. It's not being about not being friendly, but it's about staying focused. Staying focused. Where are you headed? When you come to a house, whatever house that you enter, you bring peace. This is as old as time itself when it comes to God's people. Shalom. The first thing you say when you come into a house, it's the last thing you say as you leave. God's peace. Shalom. And if that person shares in that shalom, well, that's the first step. You've got a brother. You've got a sister. And that's all you need. If they don't share in that, well, don't get all upset. You remember that right before this in Luke's gospel, I preached on this last week. Some of the disciples faced some problems in a Samaritan town where people did not receive them, and they were really ready to call down fire upon them. And Jesus said, nah. Your peace will return to you if it's not received. And key here is the next verse. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide. That is key. Now, it's not always easy to do that. And I know the times that I've been in the Dominican Republic and in Nigeria, that you got to be careful about certain things. Like, the water. You want to make sure that, especially if you're only there short term, because our bodies take a while to get used to the various different microbes that are in the water. You want to make sure that, especially there are some suspect items, and a lot of this is fresh fruit or fresh vegetables that could possibly be washed in water that is not bottled water or whatever. I know that I felt funny in refusing that because it seemed like I was refusing the word of Jesus. You know, when I've been in people's homes. And that's a tough thing we always got to work with. Because we can't always eat everything for our own health. But the main point about this is that in eating, in entering a person's house, we are entering into their hospitality. And hospitality is very, very, very important. Hospitality really lies at the heart of what we do at Love Feast when we wash one another's feet. We say that the foot washing is kind of a theological symbol that propels us into becoming servants, to serving other people. But there is a two-step that happens in the foot washing. One step is that, yes, we wash another person's feet, which is, by the way, a very intimate thing. But the second part of that is having our feet washed, receiving. And see, this lies at the heart of sharing good news. Good news is not a one-way proposition where we are, you know, evangelism, and I think this is what makes people very uncomfortable about that word evangelism. Because we see it as something that is done, and I'm purposely climbing these steps so that I'm much taller than you are. So that I can be imposing the word upon you. And it's a one-way thing. It's something that I am throwing at you like a snowball. But it's a two-way process. We share, we give, and we receive. And so it's not just about eating what they put before you, food-wise. It's also listening to what God is doing in their life and how they are responding to God. Because God was there before we ever got there, and God will remain long after we leave. Because God is the Lord of the harvest, not us. Right? This is just basic, basic stuff. Remain in the same house, Jesus said. Remain in the same house. Don't bop around from place to place. Sometimes we have ADD when it comes to sharing good news. We don't want to stay for the hard part. And the hard part is the listening. The hard part is the interacting. The hard part is the just daily stuff that comes with the good news. We'd rather bop around and look for results. We think that results are in numbers. That, you know, if we get all these people to make decisions for Jesus, we'll be fine. But what matters is not that we get so many people to make decisions for Jesus, but that these persons grow in the faith. And these people become disciples. And that these people become apostles themselves. Persons who are sent. Because that's what evangelism is. You know, we have that thing that came out of our very own denomination, Heifer Project, which began with a simple thought. You share a heifer with someone with but one stipulation, that person shares the firstborn with somebody else. It's a gift that keeps on giving. So it is with sharing good news. It's a gift that keeps on giving over and over and over again. You know, and we've seen it happen in this church. You know, think of many of you who came to church. I know a number of you came because you were raised brethren, and this is a brethren church and stuff. But those of you who weren't, how did you get here in the first place? It was because somebody shared some good news with you. And that drew you in. And you drew somebody else in. and they drew somebody else. Do you see how it happens? That's the process of sending. Okay, I don't have time to get on with it, but it talks about, you know, curing the sick, you know, this whole process of healing. We sort of have been talking about that earlier in the service. But do know this. Health, wellness is not just a matter of cure. Because I know of people who are not cured and yet they are whole. People who have cancer and yet they are whole persons. They are well. Persons who deal with pain on a daily basis and yet they are beautiful children of God who live in the Lord. Health is not just a matter of making you well, but of you stepping in to the stream of God's saving, redeeming, loving, caring, hoping process. And whenever we do that, we can't help but float downstream, down the river of life, into God's kingdom. There is much more that I could share with you, but perhaps you've gotten to that point where you are ready to escape like my cat. I encourage you, though, not to bound out of here as fast as you can, but as you go, to think of yourself as sent into your world, because you are. God may use you this week to touch another life and to be touched by another life. Go.